talking about the Pirates implosion over the weekend. General manager Ben Cherington passing the buck, pun intended, on pulling Jared Jones last week, or the predetermined plan that apparently wasn't his. He even gave the impression that he didn't know anything about it. Should be incredible. And then there's this. Martin Perez after the game, and I heard people talking around here. I didn't see this. Was O'Neill Cruz laughing after his error? I don't know the pop-up that he dropped. But whatever it is, it's some of the body language, and it's not coming from people in the hallways here. It's coming from their own clubhouse. This is Perez after the game talking about his teammates.
Martin, as a team, what gets you going in the right direction?
We got to play the game. I mean, it's already tough. I think we're making tougher, and then just got to go out there and I think we have to change our body language a little bit and enjoy the game. I mean, we're putting too much pressure on and we're not getting the result that we're looking for. So, like I say, we got to come tomorrow and go out there and enjoy it and try to play better.
So he's saying not enjoying it enough, that their body language, from that I take, he thinks that they're tight.
He
also said there's not enough noise in the dugout, things like that. Like,
I think they're all pressing.
Yeah.
I think nobody epitomizes that more than Henry Davis. He is one of those guys who's really pressing. He's trying too hard, and as a result, he's over swinging. He wants to hit everything into the Allegheny River.
Right. I mean, and now he's been benched 2 days in a row. There's so many individual player issues. Let's take them. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, this just goes to show you how quickly things can change.
Oh, sure.
It was probably a week ago. It was probably last Monday. I'd have to think about what was going on. But last Monday, we were basically talking about this team in a completely different light.
Playoff opponents.
Everything's great. You know, they're going to be great. They're going to be, you know, should we alter our win total to 85 or 86?
They're going to buy at the deadline.
They're going to do this. They're going to be buyers. Now, we've got a story about the locker room pulling apart because, you know, one player is saying, oh, you know, we have our we have bad body language. We have the general manager throwing the head coach throwing the manager under the bus. It's all falling apart. It's amazing how a week of losing, it just goes to show you too how kind of fragile this franchise is all the time. But go ahead.
I just don't know if they're any good, and I'll look at the lineup. I mean, let's just take these one at a time with like a real short comment on each, and if it leads to a discussion, great. If not, we'll move to the next guy. So let's look at yesterday's lineup. Connor Joe leading off. I like Connor Joe as a utility guy. I think he gives you a good at-bat. Ultimately, last year, he hit .247 with a .760 OPS. He gives you a little bit of power. He had 11 home runs and 400 at-bats. He's exactly nobody's idea of a leadoff hitter, except this team's. Paul?
Well, I mean, who else would you put in leadup right now at this point?
Well, yeah, that's part of the problem.
That's the problem they have.
On this team, he looks like Ricky Henderson.
That's part of the problem, though, isn't it?
Yes.
Like, we're going to go down the list of player by player by player, and I get it, but by the same token, I mean, Connor Joe might actually get a hit. He might actually get on base. And I don't know that we can say that about many of these other guys.
But the
right
fact
now
that he's your leadoff hitter and an everyday guy here, Bob, I think speaks to the issue at hand.
Well, but it's a larger issue, Joe. It's a larger issue. The fact that Nate Bart or whatever the hell his name is, Triolo and Connor Joe are considered three of your most reliable pieces right now. And all three of them should be part of a, you know, they should all be, you know, Sunday lineup guys.
Yeah.
That speaks probably more than just about anything that we're going to say here.
Connor Joe is a utility guy. End of story for me. He's very good in that role. If he's made to do more than that, then you show your weaknesses. So he's been made to do more than that. He's playing first base. He's doing a lot of different things that I don't think and give him credit, he's played well when he's been over there. But he's not the kind of guy who needs to be in the lineup every single day, except right now on this lineup, which can't produce much hits. So, you know, he's in there. But he is a very good utility player on a good team.
Yes. Brian Reynolds, your number two guy. The Red Sox number two guy had 34 home runs last year and batted 300. Brian Reynolds, to me, is a guy who delivers a little bit, right around an 800 OPS, probably less, mid-20s in homers. He's a good player. But for that contract, I kind of want a little more.
Yeah.
Don't you guys?
I mean, the thing about Reynolds is he's good enough, but not quite good enough. And you know, like to me, if he's maybe your fifth or sixth best player, then you're a pretty good team. But they have basically tried to cast him as their best player, and I don't know that he's really fits that role, and I don't know that he's good enough to be a team's best player.
21 looks like an outlier when he had a 912 OPS and hit 300, like a major outlier, right, Bob?
Yeah, I think he is probably their best player when he plays and is capable of doing what he's doing. But the problem with that is then the pressure falls on him to do it on a regular basis. And I don't know that he's built to do that. He's built to be a contributor on a good lineup, and he can help you in many ways. But if you're looking for him to be the reason why your offense starts gaining traction, I don't know that he can supply that. I mean, he is what he is. He is a good major league player.
Yeah, I don't think he carries your team, and I don't think the number three guy, you know, it's early. It is early. And I still think Key Brian Hayes is going to hit, but he's got no home runs and 75 at-bats, and he's your three hitter. You know? No, I just see he's a five or six guy on a good team.
That's what I said. I mean,
they have a lot of those, and that seems to be the problem.
I mean, really, to be honest, again, and this goes back to our larger discussion, the young super quote-unquote superstar-type players, they have to perform, and they haven't. And so, you know, we're told O'Neill Cruz, for instance, and we're going to get to him, but I'm just saying, O'Neill Cruz he's in that category of younger guy, right, that was a prospect, that, you know, was supposed to be, okay, he's going to arrive as a part of this bigger picture. He hasn't arrived. So we're sitting here talking about guys like Reynolds and Joe and Triolo, who should all just be sort of complementary players, and they have to be the main players. That's the problem.
I mean, so the top four has been a lot of times Connor, Reynolds, Hayes, and Sawinski. Now you know why they're right where they are, and Sawinski's next. And to me, Bob, he's hitting 191. He hit 224 last year. I don't care that much about average, but his OPS is below 800. He strikes out at a prodigious rate. If you're going to do all the other things as poorly as he does at the plate, you got to hit like 35 or 40 home runs to make that palatable. You go ahead and hit 200.
I think
200.
We talked about that at the beginning of the season.
Yeah,
that's the way he's valuable.
Kyle Schwarber hits 200, but it'll give you 35.
Exactly. Yeah. I'll take the trade-off. But again, he has to do that. If he doesn't, then he's a liability.
And here's the other thing. So he has two home runs. Right now, how many games are we through? 22 games?
Yeah, two of his home runs have accounted for six of his seven runs batted in. Right. Other than that, he hasn't.
That's what I mean. But so we're in 22 games is roughly, what, about an eighth of the season then, right?
Yeah.
So play it out. I mean, he's looking to maybe get to like 15 or 16 home runs.
Even if he gets to 25 again, it's just not good enough.
That's what I mean. With what he does at the plate, if he gives you 15 to 16 home runs and that's it, boy, that tells me you have a lot of outs in your lineup.
Well, now we get to the uncomfortable one, and that's McCutchen. And it's just mind-boggling to me that Shelton has not batted him below fifth. And we all love Andrew McCutchen. All have tremendous amount of respect for him. And he might get it going, but you can't put him lower in your lineup until he does, or if he does. I'm a little skeptical as to whether he will. I think this might be the end, but, you know, he may get it together. But in the meantime, he never bats below fifth. What are we doing here?
Well, that's because everyone else has to go below him because they're all worse. And he batted Henry Davis eighth yesterday, whatever it was, because they're dropping everyone. Right. Somebody's got to bat fifth.
Bat Joey Bart at cleanup.
I mean, right
Joey
now.
Joey Bart's your best player.
Right now, but here's what I would tell you about McCutchen that's concerning. Okay, he's batting 173, whatever. His on base is less than 300.
He strikes out all the time. Do we think that he's nearing the end?
Yes,
here?
He has to be. I mean, maybe he has a renaissance and he starts playing a little bit better. But right now, his OPS plus, which if you're a if you're an average hitter, your OPS plus is about 100, right? His is 59. 59. I don't know that I've ever heard of a guy that low. That's basically a regular everyday player. And again, it's 22 games. I get it, but it's 1/8 of the season now. Like, we are through the first quarter. You know, first eighth of the season.
And he doesn't play the field. So
yeah, there's nowhere to put him.
Like that, if you're trying
to get other guys to awaken themselves at the plate, like a Henry Davis. Maybe him being DH and taking his mind off of catching, I would try that just because I need to get his bat going. I need to do something to get him in the right frame of mind offensively.
Then we have Rowdy Tellez. He's done absolutely nothing. I would have signed Reese Hoskins, but that would have been more expensive.
No, Bellinger. I kept saying that. No, it was too expensive. At some point, you have to do more than just the $2 to $3 million a year, one-year players, because those players normally are, you know, journeymen who go, and he fits right into that. Bellinger's 28. He's off to a terrible start for him, but he still has 3 home runs, 16 runs batted in, and he's gotten better in the last 5 games. Again, he was available if you wanted to make a play. Nobody wants to make a play for someone who costs more. And when you start doing that regularly, you better hope Rowdy Tellez is going to be looked at as a waste of money.
And then we get to another uncomfortable one. Yeah, Rowdy Tellez is supposed to be here hitting home runs.
And again,
it's only April. I get it. Yeah. But they're in second last place now, and they've lost 6 in a row, and they show signs of disappearing.
And ever since his jumping in for Bednar, he's hitting like 105 or something.
Then we get to another uncomfortable one. What do you do with Henry Davis? Grandal, I think, has begun his rehab at AAA, if I'm not mistaken.
He had a home run.
Joey Bart... This is significant. He's now played 2 games in a row. So to me, that's not what a backup does. A backup doesn't play 2 games in a row. What do you do with Henry Davis? Yeah, I think you almost have to send him to the minors.
Eventually, if Grandal comes up, probably, and that's okay. I mean, that really is okay for now.
But it's a horrible, horrible development to have happened here.
It is. But listen, there have been a lot of other guys who've done that too and then come back and done well. I'm just saying that if that's a necessary step, then you do it. But I also think because no one else is hitting and he needs to hit, I'd put him at DH, take his mind off of catching for a while, if that's the case, and see how that goes. Tell him, just concentrate on getting your swing. Let's do that first. Forget about all the stuff. You've done well as a catcher. We know that now. Let's get your bat going. Got to do something to get his bat going.
Well, I would tell you that they have, you know, I would tell you that as soon as Grandal is ready, if it's not getting better, you send him down. You have to.
Well, I would agree, but I'm saying for the time being,
yes.
What do you do with him? You can't just bench him every single day. You got to do something to awaken the bat.
You got to try and get him going. I get that. But the other part of it is if it doesn't get going, I mean, I can't imagine Grandal is what? He's probably like a week away or something, right? He's probably not that far away.
Right.
I mean, if we're still talking about this being a complete disaster, then you're going to have to send Davis down. As much as I hate it. For him, and I hate it for what it means in terms of this team, I just feel like, you know what, you have to do everything in your power, basically, to try and get him on track. And if it means – and here's the other thing. If it means sending him down, it means sending him down, but it's just crazy to me.
Well, the good news is, am I looking at this year? Yeah, Indianapolis has played 19 games. There's guys down there who should probably be up here and vice versa. Jared Triolo is another one who, I mean, he can't hit, you know. He had a decent average, I guess, last year. He doesn't hit for power. You drafted a kid 7th overall who's batting .385 in the minors with a .590 slugging percentage. Get Gonzalez up here and give him the job, for God's sakes. What are we waiting for? Another Jared Triolo game? And Shelty batted Triolo 3rd in a game against the Mets.
Again, it's shuffling every day to try to find something that works, and it's not working.
I could have told him that wasn't going to work.
Here's one thing that doesn't work. A lot of these guys, they like to have some variation or some form of routine. And this thing where you basically every day shuffle the deck and do whatever you have to do to put them in different spots, I don't know if that helps either. I know that you're looking at numbers and you're trying to maximize against every pitcher and every single and all this other stuff. Sometimes you just got to let your guys figure it out. And I think that hurts. I do, Joe, love their infatuation with Triolo.
Again, he's a good player on a good guy to have as a bench utility guy. I put him in the same category as Joe.
For his glove.
For his glove, but I think that's okay. You could spot start him here and there. I have no problem with that. But problem with this team is they have too many of the same kind of players who are mostly utility players playing every day.
And when they're carrying a guy in McCutchen who never plays the field and isn't hitting.
Right, and that's why you have to change there. Sorry.
To me, you have Triolo, Bart, and I said it before, Triolo, Bart, and Joe, if they're your Sunday lineup guys, then you're doing pretty good, which is what they're supposed to be. Yeah. Telez, however, what was one of the things that everybody asked about Telez when they signed him? Are you going to get 2022 Telez or 2023 Telez? And so far, we've gotten 2023 Telez, and that ain't good.
Another guy who's hitting in the minors is Peguero, up around 300. Where is he?
I thought he was going to make the opening day roster.
Is Jiwon Bae hurt?
He's on a rehab.
And he was off to a great start there, and he's
a prototypical leadoff hitter, too.
At least he has something defining
about
his game.
You haven't mentioned Michael A. Taylor. Have we done anything with him other than $4 million?
He got off to a great start. I said when they signed him, if the lineup's good around him, I'm all right with having a great defensive center fielder.
People.
Right,
we have a lot of good fielders.
Plus, their defense stinks this year. Right. Not him necessarily, but Charrington commented on that yesterday. They're one of the worst defensive teams in baseball so far.
Yeah.
Well, and
what was our discussion before the season? Wow, they got so much better up the middle. They're going to be really good up the middle. Michael A. Taylor's been good in the field for them, so he's done his job. But at the end of the day, the other guys...
He's crashed back down to earth with his hitting.
Well, I mean, we knew that was going to happen. But they signed him. He's the one guy they signed as he's going to make our defense better. And when he's played, he makes them better in the field. But Cruz has not been great at short. Their second baseman, doesn't matter which one that's playing, hasn't made them better, right?
Well, Cruz is the last one that we should talk about next because he's supposed to be their best player. We will do that next. Then Bob has a showdown.
By the way, you know the one thing we forgot?
Huh.
With all that we said about Henry Davis, the other thing is he's 0 for 18. Well, the Pirates catchers are 0 for 18 throwing guys out.
Trying to steal second. Yeah. And I don't know how much of that's on the pitchers.
A lot of it's on the pitchers.
But 0 for 18. Is
0 for 18. I mean, I don't have the exact breakdown of, but I would be willing to bet many of those are Davis.
Yeah.
So
there's no question. But I was looking around the league too, and it's just impossible for catchers these days, given some of these pitchers, and they're guys are halfway or more to second base before they even get the ball. So unless you put one right on the money at 120 miles an hour to the shortstop or second baseman, you're not going to get those guys.
Bob has a showdown at the top of the hour. Then we get into Steeler draft, and we get into a little bit of Penguins. We're going to hand out some grades like Josh Yoey and Matt Wenzel did. We're going to hand out some grades to the Penguins, and we got to go heavy on the draft because this is the week here, and we shall. Edgar Steiner and Associates fan text line, personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The Fan and the Pirates want to visit your teams in action for youth baseball and softball showcase. Parents, coaches, email us at usports@937thefan.com to register your 12 and under team. And the Fan may make a stop to your field. Details at 937thefan.com. Century 21 Fairways Real Estate. Here's a good one. Break out your clubs for a great cause May 28th at Valley Brook Country Club. Shenderovich and Fishman hosting a golf tournament to benefit two. It's about the warrior veterans. All funds raised will go to these two individuals who served and sacrificed for our country. To participate, visit 98twinsgolf.com. That's 98twinsgolf.com. And then there is Gina Giampietro, where you simply can't lose. That's the beauty of this situation. Selling a home, you and Gina decide on a deadline. Deadline passes, the home isn't sold. Gina will have it bought and turned into a rental. So before you ever take the mound for your pitching assignment there, you get credited with a win. And trust is another factor that a lot of people talk about when it comes to Gina. You trust her, and you trust her immediately. And I'll give you a story right here. And that is Nick. When he worked with Gina and her team, needed to sell his Mount Washington home, said that working with Gina was truly a great experience because she was informative, attentive, took care of everything that needed to take care of, and what could be sort of a harrowing experience was not that. Nick would recommend Gina and her team to anyone who's thinking about buying or selling a home. Call the only agent I would trust if I needed to sell my home in Pittsburgh, Gina Giampietro of RE/MAX Select Realty. Call Gina, 724-602-9752. Google Giampietro of RE/MAX Select Realty and look up GinaWillSellYourHome.com. That's GinaWillSellYourHome.com.
Another really good song.
I can feel something inside me say, I really don't think you're strong enough, no. Do you believe in love after love?
Is she a rock star, though, Bob?
Yeah. There's too many good songs in her career to ignore.
Will you sing along to this one?
No, because I can't hit octaves certain times.
Hit the low off.
And I don't know the words either. I know the song.
Do you believe in love after love after love after love? That's the only line in the whole song. She ain't going into the Songwriters Hall of Fame, I can tell you that.
Well, most people aren't. If you look at today's lyrics in today's, man, they're all repetitive.
What are the lyrics to that song?
This is why watching Billy Joel the other day made me really, you know, realize how good he was in
his
time.
Yeah.
Songwriter,
right.
Makes, you know, songs that make sense, that apply to life, that everything about it.
I'm depressed all of a sudden. I don't know. I think it's a physical thing. If I don't eat, I get depressed. What was the first song that you had, Nelly, that led off the show? Can we have that one from Cher? She's inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame today, along with lots of others. What happened to Paul? He dressed in an entire fire gear outfit for the event we're doing. And by the way, a shout out here to everyone out there who is a firefighter.
Yes. They deserve a lot of credit. They deserve a lot of our respect.
Oh, my God.
Fighting things that none of us would really want to encounter.
And we just put on a bunch of fire gear that was donated to us for a promo shot for the event we're doing, which is the Fan 5 Alarm Marathon. June 6th and 7th, we raise funds for dozens of local volunteer fire departments. 26 hours, we're going to broadcast from the Green Tree VFD. The gear that they wear, Bob, is incredibly heavy. Zeiss put on the whole thing, boots and everything.
Yeah, I don't know how you even walk around with that, let alone, you know, climb ladders, get to the top of buildings, rescue people. These first responders, everyone involved, deserve much more than they get from the general public, I think. Because without them, man, so many situations would be far worse. They save lives.
I agree. Here we go.
You want to turn back time, Joe? I think I do. Do you?
You can sing to this one, Bob. Just go low.
If I could find a way, I would.
I know you would.
I take back those words that hurt you.
Like when you called Ron stupid.
And I'm not taking that one back.
Right here, the tone of this. Listen, crank it up, Nelly. She's a star, Bob.
Absolutely.
Is she still alive?
Yes.
If I could turn back time.
Words are like weapons, they move you sometimes.
What? Jump in, Bob.
If
I can turn back time.
Turn it back, Joe.
If I can,
if I can find a way.
Paul?
You dog, you. I take back those words that hurt you. And you would stay. If I could reach the stars.
I'd give anything to go to a Cher show right now from her prime.
I think
I'd be in there dancing. I would. This is incredible.
The music video to this song is her on a battleship with a bunch of sailors singing this song underneath just giant cannons.
Wow.
I just love her voice, too. It's
so
distinctive.
It's very distinctive.
It's like
distinctive.
Whitney Houston's. It's like all, you know, when you hear a distinctive voice, you know. Who's the lead singer of Journey? That
Steve
dude's
Perry.
Voice.
Yeah.
That voice was just sent from above.
No relation to Corey Perry. Cher, when I mention her, do you think actress first or singer?
Singer. Always singer.
I wonder if Paul agrees. If only he was here, huh? Where'd he go?
I don't know.
Where did he go?
Somewhere.
I'll find him.
The two most commonly used words in the station, even back when he was at AM, is where's Paul? I don't know where he went, Bob. He had already changed from our photo shoot by the time that we still had 5 minutes left before we came back. He just disappeared. Anywho, back to the Pirates. And maybe the most uncomfortable question of all, O'Neill Cruz, what do you do? What can be done? Let me rephrase.
They said yesterday,
Charrington
said they're going to play him out of it. He's just going to continue to play.
Do you have doubts about whether he's going to be a star?
I didn't at the beginning of the season. I do understand that he's coming off a significant surgery that ended his season. So I'm going to factor that in. But that should not in any way affect his decision-making at the plate with what he swings at and what he takes. And those are things that go beyond injury. So I'm concerned about that, and I'm concerned about whether or not he ultimately would be the shortstop that they want him to be.
That's the thing, too.
So I don't know. Is he going to change positions at some point? But for now, what would you do right now with him?
I guess let him play like they are.
How about if it gets worse?
How much worse can it get? He strikes out every at-bat.
Well, at some point, you have to make adjustments and take the pressure off game situations, I think. You can do that better in the minors.
It's very fair to mention that he's coming off a major injury, but he looks like the same guy that he was before in 22. And it's also fair to mention that he's never played a full season in the majors.
And I think it's also fair to say, this is only April, and a lot of people
I know,
go through these struggles.
But
so.
it's about watching him the last
time
he
Aaron
was
Judge
here.
Got booed vociferously over the weekend.
He struck out all the time in 22 as well. But O'Neill Cruz. I don't know if he's going to be a star.
That's the trend.
Joe, exactly what you said right there. That is the troubling thing.
Yeah.
Is that we are all convinced that he's, you know, a major, major, major talent that's going to be one of the superstars of the league. At this point, are we even sure he's going to be a really good player?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I have
doubts, at all.
But I also know that it's April and we'll see. I'm willing, as you know, we talked about how 9-2 start, how we had a different conversation. Now we're having a 2-9 stretch. It could very easily go back to a different way.
I don't know, Bob.
I'm just saying it could.
I did say even during that stretch I went to a game against the Orioles that they won, that the Pirates won. And I'm sitting there looking at that lineup that day saying, this is not a very good team.
No, the lineup is not good. I thought it would be better. I really did. Coming into this season, didn't you? I thought it would be better.
I think we all thought it was going to be better. I thought we all thought that they were going to hit. You know,
I was not convinced of that. Of course, I got the I thought the rotation was going to be hideous, and it's been good so far. But the lineup, I remember telling Mackey on here. I said, this lineup's not going to score runs. We disagreed on that. I said, ultimately, this is a below-average major league lineup.
Well, here's the thing. We all looked at it and said this. O'Neill Cruz is back. He's the kind of like a hitter that really just sort of transforms a lineup and it makes everybody in the lineup better.
Right.
Pitchers are going to have to circle him and understand this is where he's at in the lineup.
He's the reason they're better than last year.
He alone is the reason that they're better than last year. Ke'Bryan Hayes in the second half of last year started to really turn it on a little bit. If he continues to do that, that gives them a second really good hitter. We've got to believe that Brian Reynolds is a good hitter and he'll do what he does. Henry Davis is always hit no matter where he's been at. So, you know, sooner or later he's going to figure it out. We all basically talked ourselves into it as opposed to taking a look at it. And the one thing that I didn't know, the one thing I wasn't really convinced of is that Rowdy Tellez would be this because of what he did last year. The reason he was available for such a cheap price is because he was bad last year. That's all.
They've gone through a lot of first basemen over the years. They have.
Would you continue to play
same
Cruz
problem.
Against lefties?
I would seriously consider sending him down and having him work on things. And they have other guys. You mentioned Peguero, and they have Gonzalez. They have reinforcements who maybe deserve a shot. This would be a good time to give them that shot. While you're trying to get someone back on track, give him a shot. See what you got.
But if he's up here, to me it's always a question of, for the sake of his development and to find out if he's truly going to be a star, do we let him just learn? The only way to learn how to hit major league, good major league lefties is to hit against them. Are you willing to live with the fact that he
Well, if he's going to be up here
he can't
and,
right now.
And they're going to play him every day, then yes, he has to learn. Just like Jack Sawinski has, you know, you got to, if you're going to be in the lineup and you're a core person, then you have to know how to do it. You can't platoon everyone. And I see this team as more of a platoon team everywhere. It's just too many platoonings going
well,
on.
Well, here's my thing. Joe, let's get to brass tacks. If you're asking me what they could do, honestly, I would bring Gonzalez up. He's hitting right now in the minors.
Yeah.
I'd bring
Reward
him up
a little bit.
I would make him your starting second baseman for like the next 10 games.
What about Cruz? You just keep playing him?
I would bring up Peguero, I think.
That's what I said.
And play him.
Do it. And
some.
They deserve it. They're playing well. Isn't that what you're supposed to do?
And see if you can get a spark. Have Cruz step away for a little bit. I wouldn't send him down, but have him step away and work with a hitting instructor for a couple of days just to see what happens. Right? That's what I would do.
And we're getting to a difficult point, I think, with McCutchen, too.
Yes.
Like, what do you do? And it's an uncomfortable conversation for some people to have. But if he's not hitting and he can't play the field anymore, how is he helping you?
And that's where you say, you know, let's use Triola or somebody like that as our DH, right? And then I would probably play Olivares more than I play Sawinski. Have Olivares.
Yeah, but that's not the, you know, again, that goes against everything that.
I get it, but my
point
is.
The one-year dude coming in here, he's playing better than Sawinski, though.
That's what I'm saying. Right? My point is, go with your guys that are playing better. I'd have Olivares, Reynolds, and Michael A. Taylor as my outfield, and we would go from there. I mean, I'm just saying, like, you've got to do something different. And some of these guys, to me, you know, the second base, whatever the road, you know, who they've used three different guys at second base. You've got a guy who you drafted in the first round who's hitting in the minor leagues. Why are you messing around with these people? He should be your second baseman. Give him 10, 15, 20 games, see what happens. Because that's how you handle a first-round pick.
That's what should happen.
That's what should happen. Because you go, you know, real quick, let me ask you. Don't you have – I have no interest in seeing what's my man's name? Aliko Williams or Jared Triolo. I don't need to see any more of them to know what they are. I need to see Nick Gonzalez. Give me 20 games of him because he's a guy you drafted first, and he might have the upside and potential to be the guy that you drafted that hit the hell out of the ball at New Mexico State or wherever the hell he came from. I'm just saying, Joe,
yeah,
that's what's frustrating about this organization.
I agree with that, but a lot of it, I think, in the end, is rearranging the deck chairs if Cruz and Davis aren't going to be what you think they could be. And again, neither one of them's played even one full season. Neither one has a full season under their belt in the majors. It's just, you know, signs right now, not great. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet Springs here, and so are the deals at SunChevrolet, sunchevy.com. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Bob has a showdown next, and then we dive heavy into the draft. Thursday night, the Steelers will make their pick. Are they going to trade back? Are they going to trade up? Are they going to take a tackle? Are they going to take a defensive lineman, a wide receiver? What are they going to do? A center? What are they going to do with that pick? Let's talk about it. That's all coming up in the next hour. It's the Joe Show with Bob and Paul.